when you're ready for the word of the Lord. But before I do, I want to minister prophetically to my sister. What's your name again? I met you on Thursday.
Cheryl.
Stretch forth your hands to Cheryl. Father, we thank you for Cheryl. We bless her in the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you for just the wonderful season that you have her in and just the things that she's about to do. Father, things, even as it says in the Old Testament, Lord, if I were to tell you these things, you would not even believe it. Cheryl, I heard the Lord say, God is about, I see a flower that's closed. And I see it like, it's almost like it's dark and there's no light and therefore the flower is protected. But I see the sun come out and all of a sudden the flower begins to open and I see just the beauty coming out. The Lord says, this is your time to come out. God is going to do things in your life over the next 3 to 6 months that if he were to tell you, you would not believe him. Get ready. I know you have said that you were going to be moving up to like New Market area. God already has some things in plan for you there. Usually times of transition are difficult. When you go from one area to the other, that transition time is very difficult. But God said there's an ease in his glory. There's an ease in transition. You're not even going to feel the transition. You're going to step from one to the other. It's like you've never even transitioned. You're going to like take a step from one, step right into the other, and you are already there. God's going to surprise you. I see there's a couple of questions that you've asked the Lord. I said, Lord, well, what about this and what about this and over here? And I see the Lord taking erasure and says, you don't need to know that. This is irrelevant, and I'm a God of progressive revelation. When you need to know, I will tell you. God says, just take that first step. I see like a mountain, and you're looking at the mountain and say, wow, I got to climb this thing, and this is huge. Like if I go this way, you know, it's going to be long. If I go this way, I got to go around. And God says, just take the first step. Take the first step, and then I will reveal the next step. And you see, as you begin to take those steps, the mountain begins to diminish and become even smaller, and you're going to look back and say, wow, that wasn't that difficult at all. Lord says the difficulty is in your mind, but it's don't look at your mind, look at me, because I am the one that moves mountains. God says there's a couple of mountains in front of you. God is going to move your mountain. That season you're going to go into in the next couple of months is going to be amazing. And like I said, God said when you look back, if he were to tell you right now what he was going to do, you wouldn't believe him. But he says, I will make a believer out of you, says the Lord. Amen. All right. So this morning, sorry, I changed my password here. I'm going to start this morning by reading my principal verse for my message. All right, so if you've got your Bibles, you can go to Romans chapter 8. Now, aside from John 3:16, right, this is probably the most well-known verse in the New Testament that everybody knows. Everybody has recited it, quoted it. Okay, so it's Romans 8:28, and it says this, and we know that all things work together for good for those who love God. So you can put up here on the screen if you want, saints here. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. This morning I'm going to speak to you on the God of the U-turn. The God of the U-turn. You may be going through a place in your life right now when you think everything is against you. Right? Maybe you got a diagnosis that's not favorable. Maybe you're facing financial difficulties. Maybe you're facing family problems or betrayal. And it seems that at times like this, it seems like things, how could God ever make this work out for me? But the Bible gives us a wonderful promise through Paul here in Romans chapter 8. And we know. Paul doesn't say, and we think. Or, and we hope, or, and we wish. No, and we know that all things work together for good. And we know all things work together for good. Everybody say good. Good. All things, say all things, they will work together for good because God is a God of the turnaround. God is a God of the U-turn. It may seem like you're on a one-way road to ruin, but God's going to turn it around for you. There's some of you right now who are in a place where you're thinking, how can God pull this thing out of a hat? It's like, I'm done. There's no humanly way out. God, I can't do it. God says, good, now let me do it. Because God is going to do it for you. He's the God of the turnaround. All things will work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So I'm going to share with you this morning three things as to why God will turn around things and make them good. Why can God say, and we know all things work together for good? Why do things work together for good? Number one, God's sovereignty over your circumstances. Even when life looks chaotic, God is in control. Every vision you get of heaven in the Bible, God is always on the throne. Always. No one's going to upset his throne, dethrone him. The devil tried. That didn't go good for him. God is on the throne. Everything is Father filtered. Say that with me. Everything is Father filtered. What does that mean? Whatever happens or comes your way, God has filtered it. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that God did it, but he allowed it. Because the Bible says he will not let you go through things that you are not able to take care of or to handle. God will only give you things that you can handle. So when something bad is coming at you and you say, how could this happen? God is saying, I allowed it. It's for a purpose. But I'm in control. You see, most people, especially we guys, the men, we want to control everything. We want to fix everything. And for a man, that's very hard. Like God, we're giving God some of, we don't see control of situations that are out of control. Right? So God is in control. So his sovereignty over your circumstances. Number one, nothing takes him by surprise. Nothing. Isaiah 46:10, I declare the beginning from the end from the beginning. God knows the beginning, God knows the end, and God knows everything in between. Nothing takes God by surprise. Your situation, whatever it happens to be, your crisis didn't take heaven off guard. God knew it was going to happen, right? Like when the disciples were getting into the boat, God already had the exit strategy for them. They went into a storm, and it didn't seem good at the time, but all things worked together for good. You see, when they were on the beach, all those 5,000, 10,000, 20,000 people, they went there because they wanted food. They wanted to get their bellies filled. And so Jesus said, okay, guys, get into the boat, go to the other side, and I'll get there, right? So they went to the boat, right? And so Jesus disperses the people, and the disciples ran into the storm. Pastor Anne-Marie, can I tell you a little secret that most people miss? The devil did not bring the storm. God sent them into the storm. See, the storm is not for those on the beach in a place of comfort. The storm is for those that need to advance in the things of God, who are going to meet God in a place of victory. Because in that place, we know the story. Jesus was looking at them and he saw that they were rowing against the wind. A big storm was in the middle of the sea and the disciples were panicking. So Jesus said, well, there's no boat here. I guess I'll just walk to the other side. So Jesus begins to walk on water and he meets them halfway. And see, when we read these stories, we only see maybe one or two things that happen, but there are four miracles here that occurred. Number one, Jesus walks on water. I don't know about you, but that's a miracle to me. And it wasn't ice, by the way, okay? It was water. And the second miracle, Peter walked on water. Lord, if that's you, call me to come out. What's Jesus going to say? No, it's not me? Okay, come on. Walked on water. And then the Bible says that when him and Peter stepped back in the boat, the storm ceased. Third miracle. Now, if you look at the Gospel of John and you read the same story, it says, and when Jesus stepped into the boat, they were at the other side. So God, everybody see Star Trek, beam me up? They translated, as soon as Jesus stepped into the boat, they were all the way on the other side. Four miracles. You see, they had to get into a place of distress because God had sent them there, because God knew the beginning from the end, nothing took them by surprise. They needed to get into that place of the storm in order to see the glory of Jesus Christ. You will not see the glory of Jesus if everything's going hunky-dory for you. It's in that place of need, distress, when you're crying out to God that he shows up. There was another time they had another storm. When this time Jesus was in the boat. Okay, guys, let's get in the boat. We're going to the other side. Halfway through, there's a storm. And he's there sleeping because he's tired. And this was such a horrible storm that these fishermen were crying like babies. Master, master, wake up. Carest thou not that we perish? Right? Jesus, Jesus, we're dying. Right? What? And so Jesus gets up and he says, peace be still, and he calms the storm. Well, there were two miracles there. Number one, Bible says that when he calmed the storm, the skies opened up, the storm left, and it was calm. So number one, he stopped the storm. But if you've ever seen videos of like a ship's in a hurricane or in a sea, you know how the waves go vroom, vroom, right there? And if the storm stops all of a sudden, guess what? There's a lot of energy in those waves. It's going to take about half an hour for it to die down. But here, when it says, and it became calm, it was like, and they said, who is this man that even the waves and the wind obey him? So they had seen Jesus healing the sick, open up eyes of the blind, casting out demons, but to control nature and the weather, they needed to be in the storm to see the glory of God. If you remain faithful to God in your storm, he will show up. Because he will turn it around and make everything evil, he will make it for good. Because he's the God of the U-turn. He will turn it around. See, when you're at peace, you don't need God. When everything's going good, you don't need God. God has a miracle for you. And everything works together for good. Second thing, God works beyond what you don't see. Right? We see pieces of the puzzle. God sees the whole picture. Right? If you look at, you know, in 2 Kings chapter 6, 17, Elisha's with his servant, and the enemy king comes to attack the land, and the servant looks out the window, and their place is surrounded by chariots of the enemy army. And he begins to panic. And he says, Master Elisha, look what's happening. We're surrounded. And Elisha says, oh Lord, open up his eyes. And when God opened up the eyes of the servant, he saw chariots of fire with angels surrounding the enemy that was surrounding them. You see, why will God turn things around and make things good? Because you only see a part of the picture. God sees the bigger picture. And you need to know that God is working behind the scenes, even when it's not good. Let me give a quick story. I remember when I graduated from university, I went to Ryerson Polytechnical University, which now is Metropolitan. In downtown Toronto, I graduated with a Bachelor of Engineering degree. I'm an engineer, right? And so at that time, I graduated. I hadn't found a job yet, but I knew a guy who I went to school with who was connected with Bell. And I said, hey, he came over one day. We're talking about some business. And he said, hey, if you're looking for a job, I know the guy. He's a contractor for Bell. So, you know, you're not going to be an engineer, but at least you're doing something. Yeah, I need money. I got to pay rent. Yeah, so I started working with him. And he was a contractor for Bell, this guy, Carl. And they pulled cable and did things. Remember back in the old days, if you're as old as I am, Pastor Marie, they had those pay telephones. Everybody's got a cell phone. Now, back then, pay telephones, right? So we used to run cables, install the hardware so the Bell guys could just come, put the phone, right? So anyways, a couple years before that, as a summer job, I worked for Bell, fixing pay phones, running cables, right? So anyways, the warehouse where I used to work at was where we would go now to get the equipment because we were working for them. They had to give us, you know, the cable, right? So, and I remember the place, it was about this high off the ground with those big trucks back in to unload. They had this big door, like a big door, right? But it wasn't electric back then. It was like a big door on a spring, but it had a thick rope tied to it. So when you open it, it went up, and you needed the rope to pull it back down, right? So anyways, I'm there, right? And I open the door, because you could open it easily. I grab the rope, I jump up, and as the door went up, it grabbed my hand, pulled it against the metal railing, and almost ripped my finger right off. And it opened it right up. I could see the tendons and everything, right? So, needless to say, I had to go to my friend took me to the hospital. So, doctor saw me. He goes, yeah, okay, yeah, not a big deal. We can sew it back together, but I can't do it right now. Come back tomorrow. All right. So, called my friend Alan, my best friend at the time, called me. Hey, what are you doing? Oh, I got to take tomorrow off because I got to go to the hospital. What happened? I told him the story. Right? He goes, well, I'm off tomorrow. How are you going to get there? I'll just take the bus because my mom's got the car. She's going to work. Because you know, he lived in Brampton. I live in Toronto. I'll come. I got the day off tomorrow. We'll hang out. I'll take her to the hospital. We'll go for coffee. Yeah, so great. So I was waiting for him, right? So anyways, I remember about 3 or 4 weeks before that, my friend, who was my best friend in high school, another friend, his mother worked at Northern Telecom, Nortel. And he told me, hey, by the way, my mom says they're hiring and they pay good money. Give me your resume and I'll hand it in. So I did that. Went in, went for an interview, forgot about it, right? And so at that time, they were making $13 an hour. And that's like 30 years ago. I was making $13 an hour, right? So I'm at home waiting for my friend Alan to come pick me up. And 11 o'clock, and the phone rings about 10:45. I go, wow, he's early, right? My friend. And he goes, hi, can speak to Miguel. Yeah, Miguel speaking. Hi, this is, you know, Bobby Joe or whatever, John Doe, right, from Nortel. You put in a resume. You came in for the interview. We have a job for you. Are you interested? Oh, yeah, I'm interested. He goes, great, you start in 2 weeks. Boom. So I got the job. My 2 weeks later or 3 weeks later, I'm working at Northern Telecom, and I'm hearing, because they've hired people in phases because so many people came in, right? And the guy said, you know what they did? They had so many people apply because it's a very good paying job, right? That they would call people, and if you were not home to answer, they went to the next person. They did not leave a voicemail. They went to the next person. You see, when I busted my finger and I had to go to the hospital and wait, I thought, man, my finger's done. Now what am I going to do? I'm going to be off work a couple days and, you know, now and then. But, see, what was meant for evil, God made it for good. Why? Because all things work together for good. Even when you can't see what's happening, God is working behind the scenes. So what? Sometimes things don't seem to be going good for you. God is working behind the scenes on your behalf. Because everything about my life, where I am today, was because of Northern Telecom. And that one little thing with my finger almost ripped off, God used it for me to be home to get that phone call. God's working behind the scenes, Pastor Anne-Marie. Right? Also, God's hand is in every detail. Right? We know the story of Joseph, where he has all these dreams, he's going to be a great leader. Well, his brothers sell him into slavery. Right? First to the Midians. And then he goes to Egypt, to the Potiphar's house. Then he gets some grace, becomes the leader of the house. Potiphar trusts him. Then the wife wants to seduce him, you know, accuses him of rape. He goes to jail at the bottom of the barrel again. But then the jailer sees that God's with him, gives him a lot of chores, responsibilities. Then finally the two top people of the king, Pharaoh, the baker and the cupbearer, are sent to jail. Why? Because if you read the story, someone tried to poison Pharaoh, right? So they have dreams. And Joseph interprets the dreams. You know, the cupbearer, you're going to be restored. And baker, right, it's not going to go good for you, right? And that happened, right? But Joseph said, listen, I'm in a faraway home, a place far from home, far from my family. Please, if, you know, this dream comes true, just remember me. 2 years go by. And the cupbearer says, oh, wait a minute, I remember my sin. There was this guy, and he interprets Pharaoh's dream, and he becomes prime minister, 13 years, right? He suffered, and then when his brothers, now these prime ministers, his brothers come for food, he could have said, oh, you are the guys that sold me into slavery, into the brig. He could have done that. But see, God was tempering his heart to break him, so that because God already had planned far in advance to bring his family to Egypt, to prosper during the drought so they can grow to 2 million so that he can make a nation out of them. But Joseph, most of us, my brother sells me into slavery, I'm going to put you in jail. But God had to break his heart over 13 years, right? And so he says, Joseph says this, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Why? Because all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Everybody say all things. We know, right? See, God doesn't just have the end in control, but the beginning and everything in between. You know, all of us want a testimony. Can I tell you something? Well, there is no testimony without a test. You want a testimony? You need a test. Right? I remember watching some video on, I guess, one of these video shorts, you know, Morgan Freeman. He's in a restaurant. There's a girl there. He's a waiter or a food guy. And there's a lady there eating food. And she goes, you know, can I have some more? Yeah. Comes back, brings the food, and he gives it to her. And he looks at her and goes, are you okay? And he goes, no, I'm not okay. My husband did this, this, this. Is this right? Whatever, right? How could this be? And he said, you know, when you ask God for patience, does it give you patience? No, because she said, how could this happen? Like, what is this? And he goes, there are opportunities. Because when you ask God for patience, does God give you patience? No, he gives you an opportunity to be patient. When you ask God for courage, does he give you courage? No, he gives you the opportunity to put you in situations where you can become courageous. So anything that happens to you or to me or against us, guess what? They are opportunities. Why? Because God is sovereign over every circumstance. He knows what's happening. God is the one that nothing takes him by surprise. And without that testimony, there can be no test. But we know that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Everybody say all things. Whatever you're going through this morning is going to work. Second thing this morning, God's strategy through trials, right? If you look at that, see, we read, like I said, this is the second most recited verse in the New Testament. And we know all things work together for good, right, Vicky? All things work together for good. Can I tell you something? If all things are going to work for good, that means they have to be bad to begin with, right? God's not going to take something good and make it gooder, or something good and make it good. If God is going to make all things work together for good, it means that those things are bad to begin with. It means you're going to go through a trial. We all go through trials. See, God doesn't waste pain. He uses it for a purpose because trials produce perseverance. That's what James says in James 1, 2 through 4. The trials develop endurance. It develops maturity, right? If you're a health buff and you like going to the gym, you know the old saying, no pain, no gain. There's a trial. You know, look at Joseph's trials, what he went through those 13 years. Look at David, 13 years in the desert, being tempered to become king. All those trials. You will go through trials, but all things will work together for good. Trials build endurance. Pain builds endurance. I remember watching a movie a couple years ago, Ip Man. I don't know if you ever watched those movies. Ip Man is a guy who trained Bruce Lee. And he uses this style called Wing Chun. And they use this wooden dummy, this wooden stick with like wooden arms. And the way they practice, because it's a very enclosed combat style, they got to hit the wooden dummy, hit the leg, and do this. And over, they're hitting this wooden thing. And that, I don't know about you, but that hurts. But you do that enough year after year, you build endurance. You build calluses, right? So yes, for all things to work together for good, they have to be bad to begin with. It means you're going to go through a trial. How many here are in a trial right now? I'm in a trial. But God's going to work it for good. God does not waste pain. He's the God of the U-turn. Trials also reveal what's inside of us. You know how they make pure gold? Is they put it in a furnace and they heat it up. And because of the impurities in the gold, then it comes to the top and they skim it off. But the fire does not produce the impurities. It exposes the impurities. So in that time of trial, you will see what's really inside of you. 1 Peter 1:7 says this, that the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, your faith will be tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I can ask you, how many here you have faith? Can I tell you something? Your faith is not faith until it's tested. Faith is an action verb. It's a verb, it's an action word. You cannot have faith or say that it's true faith unless it's tested. Your faith has to be tested. Peter said, Lord, if that's you, command me to come to you on the water. Peter, come. What did Peter have to do? Had to take the step. Right? See, it's erroneous when people say, you know, when there's a crisis and someone comes shining through and they're the ones that win the victory in a crisis, they will say, that person was made in the crisis. That is absolutely false. If a person cheats on their integrity, over a period of time, you will develop cracks in your foundation. And when pressure comes, you will crumble. People are not made in crisis. What's inside them is revealed in a crisis. When you're tested by fire, you're going to see who you really are, what you stand for. If you remember, King Nebuchadnezzar made that statue. And he says, whenever the psalm, the psaltery, the guitar, the drums, the electric bass, or whatever, all these instruments, whenever they play, everybody's got to bow down to the statue. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they don't. So they bring him into the king. These guys, these Hebrews, won't bow down to your statue. So, and he was angry. All right, I'll tell you what. I'll give you one more chance. If the next time you know, the electric guitar, the oboe, the bass, the harp and the strings, all those things, you know, the kazoo, whenever they play and you bow down, we'll be okay. But if you don't, I'll send you into the furnace. And what did the young men say? Most Christians, can we get back to, can we pray about it? Let me pray about it. No. King, listen to us. We will not. Because listen, God can save us from you and from the fire. But if he doesn't, you shall know we shall not bow down to your idol. And they threw them into the fire. And they made it 7 times hotter. It was so hot that the soldiers that threw them in burned alive. It was so hot. And so the king of Canaan looks through the window and goes, wait a minute, there's a fourth guy in there that looks like the Son of God. They went through a trial, but they stood their ground. They believed in God, and God came through for them. It's in that time of trial you have to trust the Lord. You may not see it. You may not know what's going to happen, but your faith is in the Lord. I remember once Pastor Wetzel was here, and he was talking about offense, right? Because this offense is a trial. And he goes, how do you know when a person is offended? They say, okay, yeah, I was offended. I've repented. I'm good. I'm not offended anymore. How do you know if a person really is healed from offense? Pastor Wetzel said, offend them again. Offend them again. If they react and they get angry, they're not healed. They haven't repented. True. You will go through trials. And also, God's strategy through your trials position you for promotion. Genesis 5:20, whatever you meant for evil, God meant it for good. He had to go through the Midianites and the Egyptians and Potiphar and jail and all these things. God had to temper his heart, heal his heart, so that when he became prime minister, he didn't kill his brothers, and there goes the nation of Israel. You know, my mentor in Bible school, Richard Crisco, used to say, how does God fulfill a dream? God gives you a dream. How does God fulfill a dream? He gives the man a dream, he kills the man, and fulfills the dream. There's a killing process that has to happen through those times of trials. But in the end, all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. David faced Goliath not just to win the battle, but to position himself for the throne. Twice in 13 years, Saul was chasing David to kill him because he was jealous. And twice, David had the chance to kill Saul, but he didn't. One time, David was hiding in a cave, and Saul was in the area, and he came in to relieve himself. And David cut the corner of his robe off, and the guy, his armorer, said, there he is, kill him. God's brought him into your hands. He goes, I ain't touching the Lord's anointed. So Saul goes out. David comes after him, says, oh, my father, here I am. Why are you chasing me like a dead dog? I have done nothing. Let the Lord judge between you and me. Let him save me. I've done nothing. I could have killed you, but I didn't. And Saul says this, I know that you surely will be king and that the kingdom of Israel will be established in your hands. Those trials position David for promotion to be king. Dr. Ross preached a message years and years ago about let your enemies be your footstool. All these things that come against you are to help promote you to the next level. You cannot be promoted if you don't go through trials. Because all things work together for good, because God is the God of the U-turn. God will turn it around for your benefit, right? Last one here. So we see that how can God make things work together for good for you? Number one, his sovereignty over your circumstances. God is in control. His strategy through your trials. And number three, a supernatural outcome. If God is involved, there will be a supernatural outcome. God is for you. He's not against you, right? From pain comes purpose. For example, when Paul was preaching all over the place, they wanted to shut him down. What did he do? What did they do? They threw him in jail. Maybe that'll shut him up for a while. Well, some of the most powerful epistles we have were written from jail. And today, we still benefit from those epistles because Paul was in jail. Paul took advantage of every situation he was in to promote and to preach the gospel. Because he knew, Paul wrote in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. Here I am, supposed to be preaching the gospel. I'm supposed to be a missionary. I'm stuck in jail. But guess what? All things are going to work together for good. So whatever, no matter what I'm doing or where I'm at, I'm going to do something for God because God's going to turn this evil for good. As a matter of fact, because of Paul, nobody else in all of history, because of Paul, the Roman Caesar had to create a new law. No soldier spends more than 4 hours with Paul in jail. Because it's not like today, you go to jail, you're in a cell. Back then, you were chained to a soldier. You were in a cell, chained to a soldier. And Paul led all of them to the Lord. So the Caesar said, this is crazy. No more than 2 or 4 hours a soldier with Paul at a time. He's going to convert my army. I don't want that. Paul took his deepest, ugliest, and these deepest moments, and he turned it for God's glory because Paul knew, listen, all things work together for good. If I'm stuck in here and I can't preach the gospel so people can get saved out there, they're going to get saved in here. By the way, do you know Jesus Christ? You're a sinner. You need to repent. And he led all the soldiers to the Lord. When God puts you in a place that you don't like, it's an assignment. And sooner or later, if you just eat this and chew it and meditate and believe it, all things will work together for good because he's the God of the U-turn. God's got your back. God's got you on this. I feel the anointing of your Pastor Marie. God's going to turn this thing around. When Jesus was about to die, some Greeks came to one of his disciples. And, you know, we want to talk to Jesus. And he said, listen, unless a seed falls into the ground and dies, it produces no fruit. But if it dies, it produces a harvest. See, we think that the cross was a defeat, but it was a victory. Look at the life of Job. From pain comes purpose. Job lost everything. And we say, oh, poor Job, look what the devil did to him. That wasn't the devil. God's there, all the angels come to talk to him, the devil was with him. God said, oh, by the way, have you noticed my servant Job? God was bragging on him. Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, the guy's blessed. You surround him, you hedge him, he's got all. But if you take all the stuff away, fine, take all the stuff. Do whatever you want, just don't kill him. Don't touch him. You know what happens? Wipes everything away, all his sons, his property, everything gone. Comes back to the next time. So where have you been? Back and forth, you know, taking a walk. Have you noticed my servant Job hasn't cursed me like you said he would? Well, yeah, but if you touch his skin, eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, he'll curse you. Fine, do whatever you want to him, just don't kill him. The devil didn't bring this conversation up. God did. Oh, gee, wish Pastor Anne-Marie, I wish God would brag on me. God, don't even mention me. Don't go there. Don't even mention my name. But at the end, Job got to hear God's voice, got to see his glory, and he was restored twofold. Double what he had, it was restored. Because through pain comes purpose and victory, right? God will turn it around for you because there is purpose in your pain. That is why, again, understand, when the Bible says, and we know all things work together for good, it means that all things happen to be bad right now. God can't make good good. God can only make bad good. Does that make sense? All right. From weakness comes strength. Paul, right? Lord, I had this messenger of Satan was buffeting me. Not buffet. I know it's lunch. Buffeting me. And 3 times I asked the Lord, take it away from me. Jesus says, ain't happening. Because my strength is perfected in your weakness. When you are weak, I am strong. And Paul says, then I would rather boast in my weakness because then Jesus is strong. Look at Gideon. The Midianites were attacking them because, you know, they had the circle, vicious circle of going away from God. And the Midianites were attacking and taking all their harvest and they had nothing to eat. So Gideon was in a hole, in a threshing floor, shucking wheat or whatever to get some grain to make some bread. And the angel, oh, mighty man of valor, God has chosen you to lead your people. So finally, he does some things, gets on the platform, on the soapbox, gets the mic out, the bullhorn, makes a great speech. You know, how many of you are sick and tired of this? God's with us, let's go. How many here want to fight? 32,000 soldiers or men rise up to fight the Midianites. That's a nice army, 32,000. That's a pretty sizable army. How many of you have 32,000 people behind you? You'd feel pretty strong. Well, the problem was the Midianites had 135,000. They were outnumbered 4 to 1. Okay, that's okay. You know, they're not that bad. I mean, it's possible. God says, too many people. You got too many soldiers, because they might say, look what I did, and they'll steal my glory. Just go and say to them, by the way, they're here, you have 32,000 soldiers. Just say, if anyone here is scared, you can go home, it's okay. So I started thinking, okay, 100 people, 100. 22,000 people leave him, and he's left with 10,000. Now the odds are 13 to 1. So I said, okay, well, I don't know, Lord. So God goes up and says, that's still too many people. What? Take them to the water, let them drink. Those who just stick their head in the water and drink, but those who, you know, they drink water and they're like this and they're drinking, those are the ones that you want, because those who stick their head in the water are sticking their hands in their sand, not going to see what's going on around them. But those who take water and they drink it like this, their eyes are going back and forth. Those are the ones that I want. How many you got left? 300. Perfect. You'll defeat 132,000 Midianites with 300 men. They were outnumbered 450-1. Impossible odds. But God brought the victory. Why? Because in Gideon's weakness, the Lord was strong. Even though it looked difficult, God turned that which is evil, made it to good. Why? Because we know all things will work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Gideon was called according to his purpose. How many of you here? You have a purpose of God. If you love him, God will turn all those things around for you. Why? Because he's a God of the U-turn, and he's got your back, right? And Gideon could do that because Zechariah 4:6, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Listen, something I'm learning more and more, your best friend is not the one that's sitting next to you. Holy Spirit is your best friend. Treat him like your best friend. Talk to him every day. Invite him into your life. Why do you think Benny Hinn and Kathy Kuhlman could do what they did? Because Holy Spirit was their best friend. Right? From defeat comes victory. The cross looked like the ultimate defeat until resurrection morning. Right? Genesis 3:15 was fulfilled. Yeah, I'm going to put enmity between you and the seed of the woman. You're going to bruise his heel. He's going to crush your head. In other words, Jesus one day will crush the head of the serpent. And in Luke 10:19 is our victory. I have given you all authority over snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. What the devil thought was victory was actually his defeat. What he meant for evil, God turned it to good. You see, one thing that we have to understand, again, going through defeat and victory, and all these things we learn through life. You know, as you read books, as you read your Facebook feed, people put up all these nice little mottos and all these things. You read a lot of them, and after a while, you forget them. There's a couple, though, that stick to you. There's stuff that I saw on Facebook 10 years ago that I still remember to this day because it impacted me. And one of the things that I read that I still remember to this day, again, talking about defeat and victory and all that and how to have the right mentality, it was this. It says, when God calls you, he does not call you to succeed. Let me say that again. When God calls you, he does not call you to succeed. He calls you to be obedient. Success is up to him. There's things I know that I've done in my life that were not successful, but the Lord made me do those. I was obedient in those because I don't see the big picture. I don't know that somewhere down the line something is going to happen out of that place of obedience. When God calls you, he doesn't call you to succeed. He calls you to be obedient. Success is up to him. Now, God's not calling you to fail, but not everything you do will succeed the way you think it should succeed. We're just called to be obedient to God, right? Thomas Edison invented the light bulb, failed 1,000 times before he finally got it. And someone said to him, you failed 1,000 times. He said, no, I learned 1,000 ways not to make a light bulb. Right? From defeat comes victory. Okay, Lazarus was dead 4 days. And by human standards, it was impossible to bring him back. But when Jesus stepped in, the grave had to give place to the glory. Because we serve a God of the resurrection. And all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Let me finish with this. Maybe today you're in a season where things just don't make sense, where you're trying to tread water and stay above water. You can't see how God could ever possibly turn it around. But no matter what happens, Romans 8:28 is still true. God works because we know all things. And we know, not and we think, or and we wish. No, and we know God works all things for good. All things for good. For those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So if you're in pain, trust him. He's producing purpose. If you feel weak, trust him. His strength will carry you. If you feel defeated, trust him. Resurrection power is on the way. Now, I'm going to get a little somber here as I finish this. I got to be careful that I don't go way off a tangent here. And we know all things work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. A lot of times we miss something very key in that verse. See, when we read a scripture, many times we only read the part that we like. And they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Ooh, I overcome. Ooh, I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. Right? I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of testimony. But they stop and they don't read the rest. Not loving their lives unto death. Death, martyrdom. They loved, you know, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony that could have possibly brought death and martyrdom. So sometimes we only read part of the scripture. And sometimes we don't delve or meditate to see what more it might say. So yeah, and we know all things work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. But let me let me intonate that in a different way. And you're going to catch the difference here. Let me articulate it this way. And we know all things work for good. All things work good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. His purpose. What does that mean? All things are going to be good for God, not for you. It means his good and his purpose. Everything will turn out for God's good, not ours. Now, yes, all things can work and God will. Like I spent this whole morning preaching this message. Yes, God's going to bless you. All things that are happening in your life, God's going to turn it for good. Yes. But there's another part where sometimes it may not go good for you, but it's good for God. Like I said, we don't see the big picture. God does, right? It won't always go good for us. Let me give an example. Last 10 days, where all of us are reeling, all these are Christians and conservative believers, we're all still hurting from the assassination, the brutal murder of Charlie Kirk. Was that good for Charlie Kirk? Was that good for his wife and his two kids? Was that good for his parents? No. How about Christian churches in Muslim-dominated countries? The churches get burned and the Christians get killed and burned alive. Was it good for them? No. But God has a purpose. Because it's good for God. I saw some Facebook post, I guess, about Charlie Kirk in heaven with Jesus. And Charlie says, Jesus, I wish I could have done more for you. And he goes, you have no idea what you've done. We don't see the big picture. Bad things happen to good people. And even though many times God will turn your evil for good, other times he will not. And it's not because God is evil. This is not for your good. It's for God's good. Because God has a purpose. We don't see the full understanding, and we won't until we get to the other side. Right? The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. Charlie Kirk's outcome, you see Christians begin to rise up. More are rising up. All those t-shirts, I am Charlie Kirk. Churches are taking a stand. Christians are taking a stand. Because enough of this. And the devil doesn't learn that the blood of martyrs is a seed of the church and a seed of growth and missions, right? I remember, let me finish with this, a story that I read years ago when I was reading a book on missions where a family wanted to be missionaries all their lives, the mother, the father, and the two kids. And so finally, they went to China to be missionaries. And before a week was over, they were caught by the authorities. They were stripped naked, walked down the street in shame, and shot and killed. When that news came back to the United States, missions blew up about 1,000 times than it ever had in ever. People took the call to missions because of what happened. Because the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. Yes, all things work together for good for those who love God and call according to his purpose. And God will turn it around for you because he's the God of the U-turn. But there are times in your life when it will not go good for you and you can't complain to God because God has a purpose you and I cannot see. Because it's according to his purpose, not ours. But one thing I do want to throw out there, the line has been clearly drawn. People in social media celebrating the death of Charlie Kirk. Happy that it happened. We are now, the curtain is being pulled back. And we are beginning to see evil in ways we've never seen it before. The line is being drawn. We need to pick our side. And it's because we're getting close to the end. Suddenly, it doesn't seem so shocking that the crowd would cheer for Barabbas, a murderer and a criminal, while condemning Jesus, who just peacefully spoke the truth. That's the day that we find ourselves in. We're getting close to the end. Evil is running rampant when people can say that. Listen, I don't know about you, but I don't care what political side you believe in, what your beliefs are, don't matter to me. But if you can celebrate the death of an innocent person, you are demonic. There's something wrong with you. And that is where we are today. The lines are being drawn very clearly, evil and good. We need to get ready because this is a very harrowing time that we are living in. Anyways, I don't want to go down that rabbit hole anymore. I don't want to get in trouble. But all things, and we know all things work together for good for those who love God and called according to his purpose. God will work it. He will turn it around for he's the God of the U-turn. Whatever situation you're in right now, good will come out of it for you and for those involved. May not be the ending you wanted or how you wanted to. You never pictured this is how it would end or whatever. But God, if you just trust him and you stay faithful to God, it will work out. But there are times when it will not work out for you. It will not go good for you. But it's good for God and his purpose, and there's a greater reward for that. Father, we thank you this morning as we open up our hearts to this message. We know, Lord God, that you are good. Father, we know that you are good and all things work together for good for those who love you. Father, we love you in this place. Father, we know that we are called according to your purpose. Father, there are many here this morning who are hurting. They're here this morning who are broken. Father, many who are having financial situations. They don't know where the next meal is going to come from, how they're going to pay the bills. There are those, Father, who have received a bad diagnosis, a report, a medical report that is not favorable. Those who are struggling with their families, relationships, in their jobs, scratching their heads wondering, how am I ever going to get out of this one? Father, when the days seem evil, what the devil meant for evil, you will turn to good. Because you are a good God. Nothing can snatch us out of your hands. We are more than overcomers in Christ Jesus. And no matter what we have done or how often we have done it, your love still remains strong for us. Father, you are faithful. Even when we are not faithful, Father, you are faithful. So this morning, Lord, I'm asking that you fulfill Romans 8:28. Father, as we saw, all things work together for good. That means all things initially are bad. Whatever bad things we're going through right now, I ask that you would turn them for good. You are the God of the U-turn. Turn things around, I pray, Father God. Bless your people. Touch your people. Open doors of opportunity. Restore relationships. Heal that cancer. Heal that diabetes. Curse that sickness in the name of the Lord. There's power in the blood of Jesus. We are more than overcomers. All things shall work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. And Father, I pray that You would give us strength. Father, when we're in the boat in the middle of a storm, when the thing is about to capsize and we're about to go under, I thank You that my lifeguard walks on water. Woo! Come on! Doesn't matter if I'm in the middle of the ocean, middle of the sea, Lord, You walk on water. And You can pull me up. Father, pull us up this morning from that place of dismay and disgruntledness and disappointment and sadness. Let Your presence fall down in this place, for in Your presence is fullness of joy. Let a spirit of joy be released even right now over all those that are here, those that are watching online, whatever you're going through. God's got this. He's the God of the U-turn. Doesn't matter if you're on a one-way trip to ruin, He's going to turn this thing around. You know what? Give Him the wheel. Let Him be in the driver's seat. Say, Lord, take over. So all He wants to hear, Lord, I give this to You. He's the God of the U-turn. And all things will work together for good for those who love God and called according to His purpose. Now, before I step down and I give Pastor Anne Marie the mic, I believe I'm supposed to minister one more time. My brother over here. Yeah, the one turning around. Yeah, you. What's your name? Jordan? Nice to meet you, Jordan. Stretch for the hands to Jordan. Father, I thank You for Jordan. I bless him in the name of the Lord. I thank You for his life, for the call. And yes, it's the call. The Lord is calling and He says, answer the phone. I see sometimes the Lord is called and you let it go to voicemail. The Lord says, don't worry about what I'm asking you to do and what I'm going to ask you to do. God's going to go to different places that are going to be very uncomfortable for you. I see the Lord, it's like when you take sandpaper and you rub it the wrong way. It lifts up the grain of wood. God's going to do that. Then I see He's bringing the shaver. He's going to shave it off. Then He's going to sand it down again. There's a couple of rough edges around you that God's going to work on in this next season. God is going to take you to a place that you don't want to go, that you don't feel comfortable. God wants to get rid of that. Because I see a ticking time bomb inside of you. This thing's ready to explode. And when it does, the anointing is going to flow like you never would have believed. But God has to take off some of these rough edges, kind of polish you a little bit. And I see you, God, I see you now. You're lying on an operating table. And God's doing some operations. He's going to turn a heart of stone into a heart of flesh. He's going to move some things around in your heart. God's doing heart surgery because God is going to inundate you with His love that you're going to love like you've never loved before. You're going to love the unlovable in a way Christ loved the unlovable. And it's in that place of compassion. I see you with one who you're not a type of person who follows miracles. They will follow you. But it's going to be because of a compassionate heart. The Bible says, Jesus saw them like a sheep without a shepherd and was full of compassion and He healed them all. When God begins to work His love and His compassion in you, your miracles will naturally follow you. Get ready to be broken. I can see you weeping and weeping and weeping for the lost, weeping for the hurt and broken. And as you weep for them, God's going to heal them and God's going to heal you. I see some family relationships that are estranged. God's going to bring them back. God's going to bring things together because God is for you. He's the God of the U-turn. In Jesus' name.